One time Jesus was talking to the people, and he told a story. And the story was it's found in Luke chapter 8. The story was a sower went forth and sowed. And he sowed some seed, and some seed fell on the pathway. Some seed fell on the rocky ground, and some seed fell on the thorny ground, and some seed fell on the good ground. And do you know what he did then? He walked away, and that was the end of it. Now, I think that it's just interesting that you would think that he would have made application and said, well, what I'm talking about is, and explain to him what, but he didn't. The amazing thing is he didn't. He just told the story and on with life. And eventually his disciples come to him and say, what was that story about? What are you talking about? The sower went forth to sow, and some seed was good ground, some bad ground, some thorn ground, some thorny ground, some rocky ground. What's that all about? And Jesus said, well, I kind of keep things a lid on things because not everybody will hear what I have to say. And so they won't. They will hear but not hear, and they will see but not see. There are a few that are interested. And I think that Jesus was saying, are you interested? He was saying it to his disciples. You guys interested? And so they were interested. They said, well, what does it mean? Don't leave us hanging. What does it mean? And of course, it's so obvious when he tells us what it means, it's obvious that the sower is the one who sows the word, and the seed is the word, and there are some people that are too hardened to receive it. The devil snatches it away. Some people receive it joyfully, and when it gets difficult, shrivels up and dies. And some people receive it happily, and the cares of life and all kinds of activities interfere and chokes out the seed, and a few receive it, which produces a crop 60-fold, 100-fold. He says, that's what it means. So what's the point of it? And I just would like us to be the people who ask the question. We hear things from the Lord, sometimes in church and sometimes in our own private time. Have you ever read your Bible and all of a sudden a particular verse goes, da-doom, and you're in a hurry to finish the chapter, so you finish the chapter and read the next chapter too because you were supposed to get three chapters done and you don't have time to pause? Have you ever done that? Let me just suggest to you that when you have that little twiggle of information, you know, something, da-da, it wouldn't matter at all if you don't finish the other three chapters. It doesn't matter. Get whatever it is. Just bring it back to the Lord and say, what are you saying here? Are you saying something here to me? I want to hear it. I want to get it. And I want to see it work in my life. The people who heard Jesus' little parable went away, and I doubt that they ever figured out what that meant. But the ones that asked understood what it meant. And what it meant was, there's opportunity when God speaks to be good soil and produce a harvest. There's also opportunity to let it all fall apart. Let's be those people who take the opportunity when we hear the word of the Lord to do something with it. Now, that's my little lecture for the morning. I'm all done. And now comes along George, and he's going to pour out a whole bunch of stuff. And I want to challenge you, get something out of it here. But I'd like to say, this week, even today, say, okay, Lord, what of all that applies to me, and how is it supposed to impact my life? I don't want to just walk away and say, hey, that was cool, man. That was cool. That was a nice story. I'd like you to say, okay, Lord, in that place, put that seed into the core of my being and produce fruit, produce a harvest. You ready, George?
I'm ready.
Have I stalled long enough?
You did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate a little bit of stall just to transition from point A to point B. So I appreciate Dad helping me out with that. Well, good morning, and I bless you. Let's pray together. Father, we just again desire your word. The thing that you have for us, like Dad said, the thing you have for us, that's what we want. We set our hearts to receiving that which you would speak to us even now. Lord, I just release even your Holy Spirit to fall across this congregation.
Amen.
So that each one of us would be prepared to receive that which you would speak to us, that you would cause us to know and even to become the thing that you speak over us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me just say something. I feel like I have so much to say today. You can pray for me while I'm talking today that I'd say the right things and skip the rest, okay? Because I just feel like I have just a load to give you. James, will you do me a favor and go ahead and toss that document up? Can you expand that a little bit so that everybody can see that, if you can? We had this all set up, and then, of course, the power went out, you guys. Can you see it? Let's read it together. Your Father is always, everywhere, active. Stop. Your Father is always, everywhere, active, okay? So in every situation, go ahead, expect that he will be interactive with you and the others in the situation so that you can be proactive by the Holy Spirit instead of simply being reactive to the issues you encounter. We're gonna talk about this little piece of text for a few minutes. But one of the things I wanted to point out about it is curious. I wrote it intentionally using the bolded words there with the same root. Because you'll note that it has a certain significance when you repeat the same root. It's kind of an interesting thing that happens. You have the sense of activity, right? Because it says, your Father's always active, and so he'll be interactive with you, and you can be proactive by the Spirit so that you don't have to be reactive to situations around you. Okay, do you see? There's something to that. Now, I wrote it again using synonyms. Your Father's always everywhere working so that in every situation, expect that he'll be cooperating with you and the others in your situation so you can be preemptive by the Spirit. Hey, look at him go. Nicely done. Instead of being simply responsive to the issues that you encounter. Okay, so you see that whereas they mean the same thing, sometimes you miss some of the guts of it by missing the fact that there's this active thing in the middle of it. You see what I mean? So that's going to come into play later in the service with respect to a set of scriptures. But first, I want us to actually take that top paragraph and think about it for a moment. Is your Father everywhere, always active? Is your Father? Is he doing something toward you? Is he actively engaged with you? Is he actively engaged with the people that are right next to you? Is he up to something? Is Father up to something? Always everywhere. If you're there, Father's there too, doing something with you. Okay, fact. So, in every situation, we should expect that he'll be interactive. Interactive with you in particular, perhaps with others that are listening in the same arena. But certainly for you, and certainly for them, he'll be interactive, right? So that you can be proactive instead of reactive. Okay, proactive being, here, I'm going to grab what the Holy Spirit is up to. I'm going to grab by the Spirit what God is doing, and I'm going to release it into my world, rather than simply being reactive to what I see. Now, I mean, there's sometimes when it's good to react, but a lot of times it's better to be proactive. Okay, most of the time, in fact, it's excellent to be proactive. If you look through the Scriptures, I love how many times in the Scriptures somebody will come up to Jesus and they'll say, question, yeah, blah, blah, here's my question. And then the Scriptures will say, and Jesus answered and said, and then whatever he said didn't answer their question. Repeatedly. There's a reason for that. Yes, they had a question, but they had a deeper issue, and Jesus needed to speak to that because that was what Father was saying. You see, there's a time to, you know, react. Oh, yep, the person needs healing. Great. Heal them. Cool. But there's a time to be proactive, that is downloading what Father is saying. I don't care what the question was. This is what the answer is, because this is what Father is saying. Okay? Good enough. That's that quick message, and we're going to get back to that as we go along. All right. Our first scripture that we're going to talk about today is Hebrews, the entire book. You ready? Fast. You ready? Actually, we're going to start kind of end of the first third or so. Hebrews 4. It's a familiar verse, but I want to put it in context because I feel like it's useful in context. Verse 12 and 13 is what we're after. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let me just talk to you a little bit about that scripture. That scripture needs to be understood properly in its context and often is misunderstood. Let me say the word in that. Hey, James, you could actually scroll up a little bit and just show just the Hebrews section there, please. Just a little bit. Keep going. Maybe you can't. Never mind. It's all right. It's in your Bible, okay? Go look it up. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Let me talk to you about the word word. The word word there is logos, okay? The word logos is one of the common, as most of you are aware, one of the common Greek words translated word. Its primary meaning in regular Greek is a spoken word. That's what it means. Something said, okay? Actually, something being said is its primary, and something that was said is even sort of secondary to that, okay? But it took on a much broader meaning, some 600 years before Jesus showed up on the scene. There's this Greek philosopher his name was Heraclitus, okay? He used the term to talk about something bigger than just spoken words. He used the term to describe a divine reason, a purpose, the whole of the notion, or the purpose, the plan, the divine substance that would fill out. So it's the composite word, not just a single word spoken. Okay. So he talked about this, and many of you are familiar with John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That word is logos, okay? And that logos, again, is descriptive of the whole plan, the whole purpose, the whole nature of God. Elsewhere in the scriptures, it talks about the fact that Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. And so you have in John 1, Jesus was this Word. The Word was with God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus. So the notion of logos, okay, that we need to capture in order to understand this scripture properly is not just a spoken word, which it is, okay, but the whole composite of all of God's purposes, plans, even his nature and approach to them, all of that is composite in the word, logos, okay? Logos is therefore a very large word. We need to understand it from that standpoint. So the logos of God, according to Hebrews 4, is living, that's alive, it's active, that's operative, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That word sword there describes a sword that is particularly used in judgment. Okay, so we're already beginning to see judgment. We're going to see judgment through the rest of this. Okay, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. Here, the two words are very close to each other in terms of their meaning. But the meaning is the soul, anything like an animal would also have, okay? Not a plant, but an animal. That kind of life, that soul, biology, that's the soul that we're talking about, or spirit, that's that which is beyond biology, okay? So, but dividing between those things, okay? Joints and marrow, very, very narrow division, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Those two words are very similar, the thoughts and intentions. The word thoughts actually comes from the sense of passions, okay? The inner passions that are expressed or thought. And the word intentions there is another word, but it's more like the rational or the possibly spiritual. But the notion is they're very similar things, this judgment, this division, this separation, this discerning is very fine. It's right down the perfect line. So what it's saying is God, His Word, His plan, His whole purpose, the Word of God, is alive and active, and it is very discerning. You see, either something's coherent with the Word of God, or it's not coherent with the Word of God. And maybe you can't tell the difference. Maybe they can't. Maybe she or he. But the Word of God knows. Period. And this goes on, okay? There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Actually, I was unhappy when I read through the end of that verse there, because the end of that verse also ends with the word logos, okay? And you can't see it in the English translation. The English translation says, with whom we have to do, okay? I think KJV says, before whom we have to give an account or something like that, where account is close to logos, okay? It's kind of getting there. But the sense is far closer to the sense of all things are open. The word laid bare there actually is the neck has been exposed for slaughter. Okay, that's the root of the whole thing. And so it's very, very exposed, very naked, very exposed. All things are exposed to the eyes of Him. And this is your better translation, toward whom the Logos directs us. Okay, so I looked up in a number of commentaries and it's people talk about this and talk about that. But the bottom line is this section of scripture starts and ends with the Logos. So it's in my view, fairly inappropriate not to make that pretty obvious on the same kind of a comment as here. You have to see the words that you're using. Okay. You got to understand that there's the same word is being used in a similar context, actually, in a similar, approach. And so, nevertheless, the point is that the Word, which is given to us, the Word which has been spoken, and I'll get back to this because I want to look at the context of Hebrews, the Word that is there not only exists on its own, but it speaks to you and causes you to be oriented toward Him, or ought to cause you to be oriented toward Him. And the judgment that is of concern here is whether or not you pay attention to the Word.
And He knows exactly how much you did pay attention and how much you did receive and what you did with it. He knows all of that as well.
And it's very tight and very, very fine. And maybe you don't even know, Dad. You might think you were all in on that one. Okay? But He knows just exactly how much of that you're all in on. He knows, you know, maybe even Dad, maybe even your wife thinks, okay, that you are all in on that. And your son,
she's
okay?
She's hard to fool, though.
She's hard to fool. But you know what?
Him.
Let me just tell you something. The Word is not fooled. Okay? Now, and God knows.
He's
and God knows.
He's
so now let's talk context for a moment, okay? The whole of Hebrews, okay, is urging you to do some things, okay? Early on, we hear, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, okay? Because the Word knows just how hard your heart is. Just FYI. If you hear His voice, don't even pretend. Don't even think that you can pretend not to harden your heart. Okay. If you hear His voice, the Logos of God discerns motives.
I do recognize that many times we hurry on. Well, not you guys, but sometimes you hear things or I hear things, and I hurry on with the motive of not having to address that thing. Get busy, think about something else. We'll get back to that later. Mm-hmm. And, of course, later never comes. But the problem with that is God knows exactly what happened in that moment even better than I do.
Well, and, you know, Dad, the truth is sometimes the phone call did distract you, okay? And sometimes the phone call distracted you, that was like 95% of it, and 5% was you really didn't want to get back to that anyway.
Absolutely.
And he knows exactly that split.
And when he nudges me about going back and I ignore the nudge, he knows about that too.
Okay, so Hebrews says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Hebrews says, be sure to enter into the rest. Dad sent me an email this morning, which I thought was very interesting, because I was going to talk about being sure to enter the rest very briefly. And it was Rick Joyner that said that the very first full day of man's existence, because man was created on the sixth day, the next full day was
the day
of rest. You were created for that day of rest. We were, in fact, created for that day of rest. The day of promise, which Hebrews equates the day of rest and the promised land in certain regards, and then says that there yet remains this rest that we're to enter into. So these are things. So again, I'm giving you context. Okay, so before all of this, we're talking about, you know, drawing. What's this judgment about? What's this Logos judgment about? Are we listening to his voice? Are we hardening our hearts? Are we entering into his rest? Okay, all of that's before. Then afterwards, there's things like holding fast your confession. Let me adjure you to hold fast your confession and keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The key issue, if you read through the whole of Hebrews, he's saying, don't let go of this incredible, remarkable, awesome, wonderful covenant that has been offered to you, that you would hear and walk with your God. Hold fast. Yeah, it's going to be tough sometimes. Hold fast. Yep, your faith is going to be tested. Hold fast. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't harden your heart as in the day of testing. But instead, here, enter the rest and hold fast your confession. So that's Hebrews. So the notion is, do not think, okay, Hebrews 12 and 13 says, do not think that there's a place of hiding. Do not think that even in your own soul, between whether you're thinking or maybe your spirit's speaking that or you're feeling something, guess what? The Word of God, the Logos of God, is discerning. Okay? It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him toward whom the Logos has propelled you. Okay? So let's say, and let's understand, that indeed our call is to hear, to walk, to recognize that there's a Logos, there's this whole big plan of God, there's this whole purpose of God, this intent of God, yes, for me, yes, for Dad, but for those around us as well. Okay, so I'm taking this and I want to. Hebrews says, you be careful because there's this Logos. I want to say, you be careful because there's this Logos for others as well. Okay, so I'm not just talking about you and your relationship with God, which is good. I want that. Okay, let's face it. But I want us to recognize that God has a specific something, a purpose, a plan, a Logos, a facet, a flow of his word that he has for those around you as well. And wouldn't it be wonderful Pat, if every time that you interacted with your neighbor, that you would be so discerning as to just be able to push aside their soulish foolishnesses and maybe some of their confusions and the partial revelations that have been mixed with a little bit of, and what you would see for them and receive for them is just the pure unadulterated logos of God, okay? That you would hear and receive, find the rhema, the logos, the whole of what God is doing for them in particular in that moment. Wouldn't it be wonderful if rather than seeing everything and all the... Life is complicated. Anybody ever notice that life is complicated? My life is complicated. Your life is complicated. Okay? It's not just that, you know, lots of stuff happens, but, you know, I got crazy thoughts in my head, and I got hurt, and so then I've got those feelings that are, and you know, I forgave them, but I'm still, and so there's mess, and in my mind, I've got, you know, struggles, and in my emotions, I've got other struggles, and then I think that Jocelyn's got some too, so I'm worried about that, and so, I mean, it's a big, huge cauldron of mess. If you don't think life is complicated and messy, then, you know, phew, I don't know what kind of ivory tower you've been living in. The reality is it's a mess. But we don't need to be confused by the mess because there's a logos. There's a logos. And can I just say something to you? That logos has a name. His name's Jesus, okay? And he is available to you. And as we walk through life, there's truth available, not just for you, but for those around you. How useful it would be in any random conversation that you're having with your neighbor, your client, your coworker, your family member, that you would have this logos that sees right where that dividing line is.
That's one of the difficulties of knowing the truth and knowing the one who is truth. We often bring to the event truth that we have collected and we have truth to offer, but then there is the one who is truth, and that's the logos, that's the now word that really does have meaning in this situation. The truth that we carry worked well back here, but now, in this moment,
there's the logos.
There's the logos, and that's the thing we've got to get a hold of.
And that's the key issue.
And we have a war going on within us on every occasion because we have collected. We've got stuff to offer. Mm-hmm. And then there is the one who has the word. And it's a whole lot easier to grab the stuff we've got collected than to pause and say, wait a second, Lord, what are you saying here?
Right.
Because what we've collected... it's good stuff. It worked. It worked 10 times, and so surely it applies here.
Well, somebody as old as you, Dad, has no doubt.
Yeah.
Has no doubt got truth A that could be applied to this, truth B that could be applied to this, truth C, D, E, F, and G that could be applied to this, and maybe A and F would take them in opposite directions.
Absolutely.
I mean, very possible.
Okay? Desperately.
The reality is that you desperately need the logos, okay? The truth is, if you took a random selection of A through F, all of your great acquired wisdom, that probably wouldn't do it on an average basis. I wanted to talk to you about random, okay? And this is just an aside because I like to talk about asides, okay? So here's an aside about random. I think it was the 50s when quantum theory was being talked about. Quantum theory talks a lot about how the physical reality operates in probabilities, okay? So there's some element of randomness to it. And instead of you being able to say, physics says that if this, then and this, then that, you have, well, physics says that if this and this, well, then half the time this and half the time that, okay? And people were pretty uncomfortable with that. In fact, Albert Einstein is quoted as saying, God does not play dice with the universe, okay? And so he's like upset with this whole thing that there's this random element. I want you to understand randomness from my perspective, okay? Randomness is a wonderful thing. It's not true from an eternal perspective, but it's true from a physics standpoint. We have limitations on our understanding, and that's okay. But from an eternal standpoint, there is no limitation. God does not play dice with the universe. But let me tell you something, quantum mechanics and the probabilistic science that goes with that gives God great options. One of his options is he can do whatever he pleases, even a miracle if he wants, and still not disobey the laws of physics if he wants. He can squeeze that miracle under the shadowy, you know, tent of quantum mechanics. Or if he wants to, he can do the miracle and break everything. He can do whatever he wants, but he can do either way. That's the beauty of random here, not random there. That's beauty, okay? Let me just say, God knows the end from the beginning. We have difficulties with things like black holes in quantum theory, and the reason we have difficulty is because the end and the beginning get problematically understood too well, and information theory and things like entropy, we get a mess, and so we have a very hard time understanding the physics of quantum and quantum physics with gravity because of that. But let me just tell you something: there is someone that knows the end of the beginning and from the beginning, and he's the one that from the outside does whatever he pleases. Do you have a comment?
They just recently discovered a black hole which was emitting light, which of course is not possible.
Well, no, it is possible. We know it and we understand it kind of, but the problem is that it creates all sorts of issues.
They got problems with it.
It's got issues, okay? So we don't understand. There's a lot we don't understand, but it's good that we don't understand, and it's nice to know that we don't understand certain things. It's helpful for us. Actually keeps us in a good place. I got to keep rushing, okay? So that's your little random piece, okay? But let me say that for us, it would be extraordinarily useful to have the clarity, the distinction between the spirit of the person with all of that person's unique callings, the fingerprint of God that's on them, what God has for that destiny, that person. So having all of that clear, and maybe the confusions and the partial revelations that got screwed up and are messed up and they're confused about. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to, you know, be able to see one and work toward one and just let some of the others go away? Let me just say that very often Jesus spoke to the heart of the person rather than the obvious issues. Very often, he was about doing whatever the Father was about rather than what we would have said the obvious problems that person's got to get deal with. Okay, what's God doing here and now?
I would just say the rich young ruler is a good example of that. All this I have done from my youth up, and Jesus says, oh, one thing, which has nothing to do with the law. Go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me, and all is well. He went all the way around right to the heart of the matter. His greed.
Yeah.
Nothing to, just nailed it.
And he probably nailed him, and I like to believe that he nailed him in a way that was redemptive. Okay.
Here was the opportunity. Just like all of us have an opportunity when God nails us. An opportunity to do right, even if we do wrong initially, there's an opportunity. Time is allowed to us to, again, at another moment, make the right choice. And maybe he did. He got the right answer. Now what's he going to do with the answer? And that's true of all of us. Every one of us, and we have the opportunity to make a right choice again and again and again and not blow it all away.
I love how Jesus did that. There was another question where he was asked, who's my neighbor? And he basically said to the guy, in the end, he said, the person you don't want it to be, that's your neighbor, okay? That's what he said, okay? Here's the deal, okay? The person you don't want to take care of, that's the one that you're supposed to love. That's the one, okay? I just love how Jesus goes right to the center of the reality of what's going on. That's our calling. That's our calling. Help, Lord. Being proactive by the Spirit could give you access to the immediate purposes of God for that precious child, the one right in front of you. Being proactive by the Spirit will enable you to conduct the mercy and the grace that God has for that person and give them just the right information, the right call, the right piece to unlock them. Perhaps the rich young ruler even gave the island, or sold the island for the purposes of the gospel. Possibly, okay, we don't know for certain, but possibly. Being proactive by the Spirit rather than reactive could help to tend you toward healing instead of perhaps condemnation, or maybe even accidentally tripping over something that would condemn the person, towards binding up the brokenhearted instead of leaving someone in a place of hopelessness. You see, the Word of God is living and active and extraordinarily sharp and discerning. But how could you personally expect to leverage that when you yourself, not sure which piece of you is what? What about the Logos and you? Let's go back over that for a moment. I want to go out of Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to try to go very quickly through Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, okay? Here's my urging to you. Are you ready? I'm urging you with Paul. I'm urging you. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. I just want to say that word present, it's a beautiful word. It's in a particular tense called the aorist tense of the Greek, which says that you can do it once, sort of. Okay, boom. Yes, there's times when we have to just keep working at things, okay? But there's a sense in which we can present. Let's do that right now. Want to? Anybody? So let's say, Father, I present my body as a living sacrifice to you, holy and acceptable to you. Thank you, Father, for taking this as a sacrifice to you. Amen. I like that. I mean, there's other things, and we're going to get to some continuous verbs and things like that, but this was in the aorist, and it's nice. So can I just say something to you? You did it. You did it. Hallelujah. It's good news. Which is your spiritual service of worship, okay? Putting this, putting your body on the altar, it's your spiritual service of worship. The word there actually is more or less logical, okay? It has to do with logos, actually. The word logos is the root of the spiritual service of worship. But it's your logical, or it's really the service of worship that is consistent with the full plan of God in your life. That's the logos. The logosical, okay, worship is to put the whole thing on the altar. That's only logosical, okay, to you, okay? And do not be conformed. Actually, again, I'm going to give you the verb tense in a little bit better way. Do not be being conformed to this world, but be being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so these be beings suggest to us that we have a couple of options. We can have our mind being conformed, or it can be being transformed. Those are the two options, okay? It's moving in a direction, one or the other, okay? It's important. We're going to get onto context for this as well. I want you to hear that there's a very significant and specific context that throughout the chapter of Romans 12, we're going to see.
Are you suggesting that the mind cannot be parked in a place? It's either being this way or being that way?
I don't think that I'm suggesting. I do think that the scriptures are suggesting that. And the reality is that one of the enemy's favorite lies is there's a gray area here for you. That's a favorite lie of the enemy. He loves you to, oh, you're just sitting still. Yeah, it's not, can't be so bad, really. You know, where you were yesterday is just fine. Okay? Well, for him it is. Okay? For you it's not. Be being one or the other. Be being transformed. Because otherwise you are be being conformed to the world. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me just say that the renewing of your mind is an ongoing process that you should engage in regularly, okay? Because that's what God wants to do, transforming. And there's many principles, and I've heard many teachings through the scripture, blah, 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 okay? But there is a very strong principle throughout this that I want you to hear and see, okay? Paul goes on to say, for through the grace given to me, okay, so he's got some grace that he wants to operate in to give you something today, okay? So here he says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, okay, so he's not exactly trying to limit this very much. He's trying to punch this one hard, okay? He says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, okay? I'm sure you've heard that before. I just want to point out, and this is where we get to this whole active, interactive, proactive, reactive, that whole notion that there's a root word that should be observed throughout, okay? So, these words, many of the words that we're going to read in Romans 12, has this one root. It's phroneo, okay? And the root phroneo means to think or to have opinion or to value or to be interested in, okay? So I could say, I have a high opinion of Jocelyn, and therefore I'm interested in, you know her or her abilities or something, so I think about her highly. Okay, so that's the notion. The phroneo has to do with having an opinion or having an interest, okay, a certain amount of interest or opinion. Okay, so that was what that phroneo means. So I say to you, don't have a higher opinion of yourself. And the NASB says, then he ought to think. But actually, let me say that word is, don't have a higher opinion of yourself than you absolutely need to. That's what it really means. You take the opinion of yourself and don't have a higher one than you must have, okay? Take the lowest opinion you could. Okay, that's what it says. All right, I'm just looking at what the scriptures say. Through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of himself than it's absolutely necessary to think or to phroneo. But to phroneo, have this opinion, so as to have sound judgment is sophroneo, okay? And the word sophroneo actually comes from a composite of two different words. So is not one of the typical prefixes in Greek, but it comes from an amalgam of two words. Anybody guess what that first word is? It starts with S-O. You know the word. Sozo. So to have, well, I like to think about, so sozo means salvation, okay? Sozo has to do with the fullness of the salvation of God, which includes things like healing and deliverance and eternal salvation and every other good thing, okay? The whole of salvation is involved in sozo. But, so he says, but have sound judgment, that's what it says here, or sophroneo, that means salvation think. Saved think. Think about yourself as a person saved. Think about yourself in the perspective, in the moderation of understanding how saved you are. Okay? So for now, yeah, I think the KJV calls it sober judgment, or maybe it was sane. One of them is sane. I can't remember which is which. But think about yourself sanely, or soberly possibly, or in the perspective of your salvation. Okay? And then it says these words, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So let me just connect that in. Why did he say that? So Jocelyn, here's the point. If you're saved, and if you have a certain amount of faith, to that degree, make sure that you are carefully moderated in how you think about yourself. Okay, so be careful. Keep your you know, sort of self-interest and high opinion of yourself as careful as you have faith. It says, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith, that's the degree to which you have sound judgment or sophroneo. So let me back up just a second because I don't want you to lose the transition here. We're talking about our opinions of ourselves and eventually of each other, okay? And this is in the context of him saying, don't be being conformed to this world, but be being conformed or transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so in this context, it's important to think about your own interests with respect to yourself, your own value or worth that you provide, or the, you know, how you think about others. It's essential that you use saved think. To the degree that you have faith, use saved think about how you think about yourself and about others. You see, how you think about you and how you think about others will impact whether you're being conformed or whether you're being transformed. That's a key issue. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, guess what? We have different gifts. We have different grace, okay, levels. We have different faith amounts. Okay, we'll see that throughout. Let's exercise them accordingly, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith. Okay, so there's an amount of faith or whatever. If service and serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All of this, he's saying, you've been given various things. These are gifts that you've been given. Different levels of grace, different levels of a gifting, different gifts themselves, different, you know, amounts of faith. All of those things, be careful how you think about yourself. That's what he's saying. That speaks to me, all right? I just want to say it. It speaks to me. To me personally. You know, I personally believe that we all can, under the instruction and leading of the Spirit, access pretty much all the gifts, you know, in various times and various, you know. The truth of the matter is, the reason I believe that is because I've experienced it. Okay? I have. I've experienced, name one and I'll tell you. Yeah, I remember this. I could give you a testimony, okay? I remember those, okay? So to the measure allotted to me, boy, oh boy, I better be careful about how I think about myself. To the degree of the faith that God has given to me, boy, oh boy, I better watch how I think about me and how I think about you. How I pursue or consider my interests or my value and worth compared to you. It speaks to me. Goes on to say, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, and cling to what is good. We're going to get to some other scriptures probably, hopefully. But one of the issues here is abhorring what is evil and clinging to what is good. I appreciate my father in this, okay? So my dad knows me. You know, when I'm, you know, a mess on the floor, I give him a call and he prays for me, okay? But you know what? He doesn't think of me as that evil thing. Yeah, he abhors that difficult, ugly part of who I am. But he clings to what is good. You see, there's something of the logos in my dad who sees what it is that God has on me and in me and for me and the bigger plan, this whole thing. And he's not happy when, you know, I'm living less than that. He abhors that. But he clings to the good that he sees. And he promotes that in me. And he has the Word of God and the stuff to put into me when I need it. Very often I call up Dad. Dad, I need prayer. Pray for me, Dad. Right? Why? Because he's my pastor. He's my dad, you know. He's the right guy for me to go to for that, you know. And because he sees. Before he looks at me, he puts on his Jesus-colored glasses and sees me the right way. Now, if he wanted to, he could go like this and ooh, ugh, but he puts on the glasses. And they're not rose-colored, okay, because he knows too much about me for rose-colored, okay. But he looks at me and he sees through the Jesus-tinted glasses, okay, like Father does. And he sees who I am in Father's eyes. And boy, oh boy, the Logos knows the truth, and it's good. You know about judgment, and I've talked to you about judgment. The judgments of God are greater, wonderful, more valuable than the finest of gold, sweeter also than honey. The truth is the judgments of God are wonderful. Thank you, God, for seeing me through the Jesus-tinted glasses. And thank you, Dad, for doing the same. But let me say, when we look at someone, a random someplace, random. Can I just say something about random again? If it's random, then God did it. Okay? So if you show up and somebody else shows up there too, that sounds random. I know who does random. Okay? I know the guy that understands and underwrites random. I know him. You do too. It's exciting. When random happens, woohoo, God's up to something. Find out what it is and go there. Okay? It's good stuff. Anyway, when you run into the random guy, the question is, how far along God's road is this fella? I don't know. Trust me, your regular old naked eyeballs don't know either. But the Logos knows. I have a question for you. Does this person in front of you, does he or she have the unique fingerprints of God on him? I suspect so. Okay. Even our genetics tell us that there's a unique something that God has done. But let me tell you, spiritually speaking, he's got a unique something for that person. Right? Someplace this person is along the road. You guys know one of my favorite brothers in the Lord, right? Anybody remember who one of my favorite brothers in the Lord is? I've told you before. The guy on the cross, okay? The guy next to Jesus, okay? It looks, if you read both, you know, several Gospels, it looks like he started mocking with the other guy. They both mocked him. And then he repents. And Jesus says to that guy, who's a thief, probably a murderer and a mocker, today, I see you. I know who you are. Today, you and I are hanging out up in Father's house. Eating together, enjoying life, eternity, together. Where was this guy? He was nowhere, okay? I mean, he was, you know, a tenth of a millimeter along the path. I mean, he wasn't anywhere. This guy was. But where did Jesus see? He kind of abhorred what was evil and clung to what was good. He kind of discerned between soul and spirit. He kind of saw what Father saw and grabbed a hold of the thing that was valuable to grab a hold of. Is there a piece of the Father's ways in that person that you can cling to? Could you love something about Father in that person? Is there? Father can show you. Because he's got the Logos for you. Is there something you can honor about that person? You know, I'm going to tell you something. You want to talk to somebody? You want to have influence in somebody's life? Go ahead, try this. Beat up on them for a while and see how much influence you've got, okay? Go ahead, do it. Work at it. It's great. It's great. Do it with somebody that you don't care about, okay? Because if you want to actually have influence in somebody's life, try honor. And I'm going to tell you something. The Logos knows how to do that. The Logos knows how to do that. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Do you notice that that doesn't say just if they're better than you? That's why it says, you know, push down your own self-interest and own self-opinion as low as it's, you know, is just as high as it's necessary. Keep it down there. Why? To honor them. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, even serving
in,
the Lord.
Even in honoring requires the Logos. I could say something nice about you, flatter you in some measure, which is not honor. It's a false honor.
Yep.
Requires, what is it that God would say to you that would be useful for the next square inch of your spiritual life?
For real.
For real.
Not just feel good. Because that's soul and spirit, okay? It's not just what makes me feel happy about anything.
It kind of puts us very, 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 very dependent on God.
Who embodies the Logos. Who is that living, active, life-giving thing. Bless those who persecute you. Okay, same context, okay? Remember, what are we talking about? Anybody remember? Not conforming, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay, that's the context we're in, okay? We're still in that same context. And we're still about how we think about me and how we think about you and my opinion and my valuing of you versus me and all the people around me. We're still in there. I'll show you in a moment. We're there. Bless those who persecute you. Okay, still in that context. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Understand by connecting with people, you have the opportunity to be Logos to them. Where's that person? Be there with them. Verse 16. Be of the same mind, it says. Be of the same phroneo. Same word. Okay, back to that same how you think about people. Have interest toward each other. Value one another. Do not be haughty in mind. Okay, actually, again, the same word. Do not phroneo your too high. Okay, that phroneo, same word. But associate with the lowly. This associate word actually comes from a few roots that say to be led away together with. In other words, so here's the lowly. Be with the lowly and be led away together. By the word, okay, with the lowly. It's a beautiful picture. All of this, do not be conformed, but be transformed. Do not be wise, phronimos, okay, very closely related word, in your own estimation. The renewing of our mind. Papa, I don't know if you want to toss in here some of your thoughts about thinking about ourselves that you spoke this last weekend. Do you want to throw some of those in? Okay. I have another scripture that I'm hoping to get to. So let me just say, I want to just throw in here very, very quickly, is remember the parable of Jesus where you've got the landowner and he hires somebody in the morning and he says, I'll give you, I forgot what it was. Anybody remember? Whatever the one day's wage was. Okay, I forgot what the number. I'll give you a laborer's day. What was it?
A denarius.
That's what it was. Okay, I'll give you a denarius. Okay, Jocelyn, start at 8 o'clock, and I'll give you a denarius. Okay, but then he still had more work to do, so he hired Pat at noon, and told her he'd give her a denarius, and then. Last, yeah, you know, 4:59 p.m., just 1 minute before closing time, okay, George shows up, and he says, yeah, I'll hire you. Here's a denarius. Okay, now, The reality is, George picked up his hoe and ring, you know, the clock ticked, okay? But I picked up the hoe, okay? I got it, okay? I get my denarius. You don't know where that person is. You don't know where they are. Logos does. But can I tell you something? The Logos also will show you if you're willing to let your mind be renewed, will show you how to value that person. How to see where they are and to encourage them. Here's how you use your hoe, buddy. Okay? We'll show you how to honor them so that you can even talk to them about their hoe. Each person is unique. Not only do they have a unique end point that God is aiming them at, not only do they have different gifts and differing amounts of grace in those gifts, or faith in those gifts, or trajectory moved along. You know what? They also have differing amounts of stupid, right? You have a little bit of stupid? I do. Okay, I got some stupid still running around. Okay, and you got different amounts of stupid in different areas than I am. And you know what? Let me just tell you, your stupid really looks dumb. Mine's not so bad. Okay, but the reality is, we've all got various pieces of stupid. Sorry, fact. But the Logos sees the right way. And if we'll get our minds in the right direction, we'll value, not just put up with, but we'll value the uniquenesses of the various others. We'll actually be able to say, well, that part of the body doesn't do it the same way I do, but it's worth it. We'll keep them. I was talking with Dad about this yesterday, and I noticed that these two members of my body, this one and that one, part of the value in them is that they move in opposite directions. Because if they didn't, it wouldn't be all that useful. It's kind of curious how they do that. Some other parts of my body here sometimes move in one direction and sometimes move in the other direction, and that's because it's valuable that way. Okay? It's interesting, and it should keep us in a place of humility to recognize that we all have our own bits of stupid. We all have our own callings, and sometimes we're not sure which is which, but the Logos knows, and you can go after that if you will. All right, I'm going to go one last thing really quick here, and I'm going to not do justice to this set of scripture, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11 starts with, you know, this harangue about whether a woman should pray with her head covered, and there's this argument back and forth, and in the end, Paul gets to verse 16, but he says, but if one is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor have the churches of God. In other words, this is what we do. You know, I don't know whether you're going to agree with me or not, but this is what we do. Okay, fine. Above it, he says, you know, judge for yourself. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Okay, all good. Down below, he says, I got a problem with what you're doing, because when you come and you have communion together, one of you eats and you're filled and the other is hungry. And I'm pretty sure that sometimes it was the rich that got the food and the poor that didn't, you know, by the context. He's not happy with how you're behaving towards each other, okay? So up is this contention, down below is that contention, and in the middle is this. In giving you this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. And then he goes on until the Lord's Supper starts. Okay, so what is he talking about? He says, oh yeah, there's factions, there's differences, there's divisions, schisms. And it's so that the ones who are approved may become evident. Okay? Well, Jocelyn thinks your hair should be curly. I am certain that it should be straight. Okay? Here's the reality. Okay? It's a good thing we have schisms, so that the ones that are approved, obviously me, okay, I mean, I'm sorry. So that the ones that are approved can become evident, okay? I'm the one up here talking, so it's pretty evident who's right and who's wrong. Okay? I just wanted to make sure we're clear. Here's the truth. Take that same picture and that same situation. Go over to Jesus. We're running on the way up to the Last Supper. He's about to reinstitute, I call it reinstitution, reinstituting of the Lord's Supper. He's going to reinstitute this thing. What are the disciples doing? Anybody remember? Fighting over who's got the best hair, okay? Who's going to be the greatest, okay? Curly or straight? Who's great? Okay, what is Jesus up to while these guys are factioning away? Oh, I'll give you a hint. Girding himself with a towel. Washing their feet. Both factions. I just wonder, was it Peter or was it John that was the one approved in the picture? Or maybe was it Jesus? I just wonder. Can you help me out here? Anybody? The truth of the matter is that when factions and schisms and the word faction there is actually out of the Greek is heresy. Okay, when these schisms exist, who's the one approved? I'll tell you who it is. The Logos. Jesus is the one approved. Woo! Jesus is washing feet, reinstituting communion, and as usual, ignoring what the Father was ignoring, while accomplishing what Father was accomplishing and establishing true reality in the eternity for his disciples. Jesus, as usual, was ignoring what the Father was ignoring and paying attention to what the Father was paying attention to and establishing something in eternity. Notice, you know, he comes to Peter. Peter says, oh, you can never wash my feet. Peter's his own factions. Peter's both sides of the argument, okay? Oh, God, you'll never do that. Oh, really? It's that good? Oh, well, then you have to do all of me. No, Peter. The Word of God is living and active, discerning, carefully separating. Peter, you're already clean. Remember that he said that to Peter? He said that to him. These are the guys that are arguing about who's going to be the greatest or whose hair is better. Crazy. So let me just say, your Father's always everywhere active. So in every situation, expect that he'll be interactive with you and the others in your situation so that you can be proactive by the Holy Spirit instead of simply being reactive to the issues you encounter. The reality is, as we keep our own notions as low as we can and we accept, we hear his voice, don't harden our hearts, we enter his rest, we let his word be the judge, what he says, then we can become those who are proactive by the Spirit. You know, there's always something that could interfere with your ministry to that person. Lots of times, you know, it ends up being your junk, actually. It kind of coupled with their junk, right? Yeah, I'm not trying to say that I know this, but you remember Paul and the woman that was a fortune teller. You remember the fortune teller girl? and she goes around following him, and eventually he kind of snaps. Remember? And then it comes out of that a riot. Do you remember that, the whole story? Okay, I can't give you chapter and verse. It just occurred to me. My guess is that he snapped in a not a great way. That's my guess, okay? Yeah, he cast out the demon. Great, okay? The riot happened. He had to go someplace else. We don't know what happened to the girl. I don't know, okay? Did she get back into whatever it was she was into? Or did she stay free? I don't know. I really don't know, okay? But this I do know, that for you and for me, how we think about ourselves and how we think about others, humility, humble Jesus, is our key to being relevant to that person. And that person right there, I don't know where along their path they are, but they have a unique fingerprint of God on them. And God is about accomplishing His goodness. His logos has a plan for them. They probably are annoying, okay? I just want to let you know. That person, they probably are annoying. Somehow or another, okay, right? Am I wrong? Come on. They're annoying. But God has something good for you to say. I'm not saying that the something good is always, peaches and cream. Sometimes it's, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air, whatever. Sometimes it's, here's the one thing that you're missing. Go sell all you have. Sometimes it's that. That is true. Many times, there's a healing involved. Many times. Almost, probably all the time, there's grace. Huge mercy. And then there's the Word of God. It's there. It's there. But for us, it's important that we just continue this process of renewing our minds. And humility is a big, big piece of that. Go ahead and look it up. Words phroneo. Romans chapter 12. Look it up in the Greek. Phroneo. Look for your opportunity to be the guy that's not thinking that John's the better one or Jocelyn's curly hair is the better curly hair, but the one that girds himself with a towel, that washes the feet, not the hands and the face, just the feet, because that's what Father's up to, that teaches them something forever that creates an eternal moment by the logos of God.
There's the importance of saying, okay, I want to participate with that. And I suppose that we could all say we want to participate with that, being a mouthpiece for the Logos. And I think that probably is true for all of us. And in my own experience, there's times when it doesn't seem like I get anything. So I'll share my sins with you. I ask and don't get anything. So, okay. But that does not mean give up. Here's something that is true. There are times when I get something. I know that I'm supposed to X, Y, Z, and I got it. There are times when I, after the fact, realize, oh, my goodness, I did it. The thing that God wanted done. I didn't get it. I did it. It was all done. And there were times also when long after the fact, I realized that something occurred and I wasn't even aware that God was anywhere near. I'm talking about three different things. One, when I'm participating and reaching and got something and bring it. Sometimes I don't even know and it happens. And there's times when long afterwards I realize, because somebody comes back and says, do you remember? And I don't remember that such and so. What I'm trying to say is we tend to say, okay, God, I want to participate with you. And we
expect that he's going to tell us 10 words or do something, and we're going to know it, and then we're going to set out and do it, and we say, yay, I did it. And I wish it would always happen that way, but what I'm saying is if we will set our hearts to be that, he will, sometimes it will be very obvious, and he'll say, do this, and you say, yes, sir, and we did it. There will be other times when, because our heart is set toward him, he pulls it off, and we hardly even know it, or don't know it, or after the fact we say, oh, wow, that was incredible, and I didn't even know what was going on. And so, all right, so what's the point? Set your heart to hear from him. Let that be the desire of your heart. And stop measuring it to say, okay, did it happen or didn't it happen? But set your heart, because the Word of God says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. He will reveal himself to you if you will seek his face. He will do it, and he will do it in you, and he will do it through you, and sometimes. And you want to know what? If you manage to get to heaven, there will be occasions when you get to heaven, and he will tell you about things you did, and you'll say, well, I don't remember that. And he'll say, it doesn't matter, I do remember, and we did it together, and it was nice because you allowed me to do it.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What is he saying? Hook you up with me. I'm the older ox. I know what I'm doing. Hook you up, kind of follow along. Just, I'll show you the ropes. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, if you yoke yourself, take my yoke upon you. That's mean you yoke yourself. Got it? If you yoke yourself to the Logos, you'll get more done in a moment than you could do in a lifetime on your own. Take my yoke upon you. Yoke yourself. You ready? We'll do it right now. Let's do it together and let's agree. Father, we come before you with gratitude for this opportunity. Lord Jesus, we desire, we even choose to yoke ourselves to you. We choose right now. Say amen, everybody. Amen. We choose right now to yoke ourselves to you. We want nothing less than to pull in concert with you. We want nothing less than to live alongside of you, doing what you're doing, pulling where you're pulling, agreeing with your word, knowing that you will accomplish, knowing that you're the good one, and that your plan, your purposes, your callings, your grace, your logos, is what will happen as we concert with you and agree with you. We do. We agree in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Many blessings upon you. Grace, grace, grace to you as you open your heart. And when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, but every time walk with him in concert with him. I bless you. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on these as they go and do the ministry where they're called to be. I bless them in Jesus' name. Hey, we got a food pantry this coming Thursday. No? Oh, a week off. That's right. Another week off. This is a five Thursday month, must be, right? So bless you. Have a week off. Grace to you. We'll see you soon. Love you.